Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 16th chapter, reading verses 13 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I will tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this, his holy word. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. Right now, Lord, help us to open ourselves up to what you would have said. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable for you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, about a week ago, I got a call from Pastor Chris, for Pastor Chris from Compassion Church. He runs Rock Club, which Holly is a teacher at, and he says, are you able to do weddings? And I said, yes, well, I've got a couple that wants to get married. Okay, it's this Saturday. All right, fine. Well, the wedding was at the New River Bluegrass Barn. I don't know if any of you have ever been there, but you take the river road out of Radford and you go down, and it is actually quite nice. And as I mentioned last week, you know, two Saturdays ago, I married Ben and Priam Tuck, and that was lovely. It was nice and cool. There was a breeze. It was hot and humid yesterday. And I'm the only guy there that has a tie and a jacket on, so the sweat comes. There's a lot of things that can make us sweat. Heat, humidity, or sometimes we have a flash of memory that brings back an anxious moment or an embarrassing time, and the more embarrassing or anxious that time was, it seems that the amount that you sweat goes up exponentially. I can think of a couple of times when I was in school that the teacher would ask a question, and I'm like, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me. I'd start sweating a little bit. Then somebody else would get called. So that was good. When you're not prepared, though, and you get called on, you're, at least for me, my fight or flight instinct starts kicking off, and it's usually the flight. I want to get out of there. I don't want to be in that situation of having to answer that question. So I'm pretty sure we can all empathize with being in that sort of situation. So there's two ways that you can take and handle this. The first way is to use a common phrase, fake it till you make it. You can try to give your most best, most confident answer and pray to God that you get somewhere close to the right answer. Normally, though, whenever I've tried to do that, it's always backfired on me, and the answer that I've given is nowhere near what the truth or the answer to the question is. The second way to respond to that is you pretend that you are a statue. And you just sit there and you hope that you, and just try to wait out the teacher and get her to call on someone else. When I was preparing for this week and I read the scripture, I couldn't help but think along those lines of being a student in the class. The teacher is asking questions, and all of a sudden, they ask an unexpected question. It reminded me again of this familiar passage of Scripture where Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" That's a nice open-ended question, for which there's not really a wrong answer. Some people say Elijah. Some people say that you are a prophet, or say that the Son of God is one of the prophets, or that the Messiah is John the Baptist. Again, nice, open-ended question. I'm sure we could all have an answer to that. Do we have an answer to that? But then Jesus goes and he changes one word in that question. And he makes all of the disciples sweat a little bit. Who do you say that I am? Who, you disciples, you who follow me, who do you say that I am? I can imagine that there were some sweaty palms and some sweaty brows and looking down, or maybe, trying to,
let me think about that.
Because it was a unexpected, somewhat very, very personal question. All of a sudden, it's not open-ended. It's specific. Who do you say that I am? So I imagine there was maybe a couple of seconds. Maybe it was instantaneous. But Peter says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." How would you answer that question? If I were to come down and, come to one of you, look you in the face, and say, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" what would be your answer? Would you have to,
let me think about that.
Or look down, or I'm sure some of the disciples did the statue
routine and were saying, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me. So that one little word totally changes that question. What I think in part what Jesus is doing here is he is trying to gauge how much the disciples actually love him. How much they are actually listening and how much that that they love and actually believe what he's saying. Because you see, there's one thing, there's a difference between talking about something and actually there's a difference between talking about something and telling someone something. There is a difference between loving someone and simply just talking about love in general. If you had to tell someone that you loved them, would you really mean it? Or are you just mouthing a platitude that you have just learned how to do? The unfortunate thing is, in the church today, a lot of people would squirm if they were asked the question, who do you say that Jesus is? They get a little panic stricken because, well, you know, I go to church and I tithe and I try to listen to what the preacher is preaching on Sunday. But what they're missing, they're somewhat superficial and they haven't gone very deep. They haven't thought about what does it mean to be a Christian, to think about what Jesus did, what the cross actually meant, and what Jesus did for us, and what he continues to do for us. We've all probably sat in a lecture or a sermon or a talk, and the professor was up there very eloquently orating about some topic, using those $15 words every once in a while to explain something. And the reality is, they are just mouthing other stuff that they have learned. They don't have any personal relationship, so to speak, with the knowledge. They haven't done a lot of thinking. They haven't done a lot of pondering. They haven't done a lot of questioning. So when they're asked a question like Jesus asked the disciples, they freeze. They try the plaster of Paris routine, but then they try, in a lot of cases, they're just trying to fake it until they make it.
the Danish theologian Søren Kierkegaard spoke about how there's a lot of paltriness in many Christians' lives. He wrote about how in their hearts they have flimsy thoughts, very superficial, not very well thought about, not very well reasoned. He called his fellow Christians soul-keeping souls, people that are busy engaging dull religious duty instead of some bone-rattling passion. All of us have done many things in our lives. Obviously, the older we get, the more things that we have done, the more jobs perhaps that we have had, the more church experiences that we've had. We've heard different pastors. We've been exposed to different ideas. But then we get asked that question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Another way I think what Jesus was driving at was that question was actually, are you in love with me? Are you in love with Jesus? Is there a fire in your soul? A twinkle in your eye? Is there a radiance in your smile that when other people see it, that they say, they got something. They have something, and I want it. I've heard a number of different people very humbly speak about how people have come up to them and said, you know, you're different. What's going on with you? There's something different about you. There's something about your smile, or there's something about the way that you talk. And that opens the door for sharing what they actually have. Are you in love with Jesus? Are you in love with Jesus enough that you dive in and you try to dig deep into the scripture to truly, truly understand the things that are said in there? The Bible's a deep book. And the nice thing, one of the things that I love about the Bible is a particular scripture passage can say multiple things, and they are all right. They are all useful for different situations. Are you in love with Christ? Do you burn with passion to do his work? Do you burn with passion to respond to the opportunities that he gives us each day? We are all different people. We all have different gifts. And hallelujah for that. For that allows us to be of use to God, so to speak, and bring about his kingdom here on earth. Who do you say that Jesus is? And are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen.